Chapter 12. Coming Home. When Kay Adams finished college, she took a teaching job in her New Hampshire hometown. During the first 6 months after Michael disappeared, she had made weekly telephone calls to his mother, asking about him. Mrs. Corleone was always friendly and always ended by saying,
"You are a very nice girl. You forget about Mikey and find a nice husband."
Kay was not offended and understood that Mrs. Corleone spoke out of concern for her as a young girl in an impossible situation. When Kay's first school term ended, she decided to go to New York to buy some new clothes and see some old college girlfriends. She also thought about looking for some interesting work in New York. She had lived like a widow for 2 years, refusing dates or to go out at all, even though she had given up making phone calls to Long Beach. But she had always believed Michael would write or send her a message. He had not done this, and she was offended and saddened that he could not trust her. She took an early train and went to her hotel. It was only mid-afternoon, and she decided not to call her friends until the evening, as they would be working. Being alone made her remember all the times that she and Michael had used hotel rooms like this to make love. It made her feel sad and lonely, and it was this feeling that gave her the idea of calling Michael's mother in Long Beach. A man's rough voice answered. Kay asked to speak to Mrs. Corleone. The man asked who it was, and then Mrs. Corleone came on the phone.
"This is Kay Adams, Mrs. Corleone," she said. "Do you remember me? Have you heard anything from Michael? Is he all right?"
There was silence at the other end of the phone, and then Mrs. Corleone said,
"Mikey is home. He no call you up. He no see you."
Kay felt her stomach go weak from shock and anger. Did Michael think she was one of those poor Italian girls who would kill herself or cause a huge fight after giving up her virginity and then being left? Michael had not even tried to stay friends with her. Kay felt like crying as she said,
"How long has he been home?"
6 months. You want to see Mikey? You come out here now in the taxi. I pay for it. Give him a nice surprise."
"I couldn't do that, Mrs. Corleone," Kay said coldly. "If Michael wanted to see me, he would have called me at home before this."
Mrs. Corleone laughed.
"You a very nice girl. You got nice legs, but not much brains. You come to see me, not Mikey. I want to talk to you."
2 hours later, Kay sat in the kitchen with Mrs. Corleone and through the window watched Michael get out of a car in the mall with two other men. Then, the door opened and he was moving into the hall and turning into the kitchen before seeing her and his mother. For a moment, his face showed nothing, and then he smiled very slightly. And Kay, who meant to just say coolly,
"Hello, how are you?"
jumped from her seat to run into his arms, pressing her face against his shoulder. He kissed her wet cheek and held her until she finished crying. Then he walked her out to his car and, waving his bodyguard away, drove off with her beside him. "I've got a place in the city," Michael said. "Is it all right if we go there, or should it be drinks and dinner at a restaurant?"
"I'm not hungry," Kay said.
They drove toward New York in silence for a while. "Did you finish college?" Michael asked.
"Yes," Kay said. "I'm teaching in my hometown now. Did they find the man who really killed the policeman? Is that why you were able to come home?
For a moment, Michael was silent. It had been another month after Apollonia's death before he could be brought back to the United States. During that time, Hagen and the Don had thought hard about ways to achieve this. Finally, after some discussion, a young man called Felix from the Bocchicchio family, who was facing the electric chair for murdering three men, had agreed to confess to the murder of McCluskey and Salazzo as well. In return for his confession, the Corleones had promised to look after Felix's wife and pay for his children to go to college. Finally, Michael was able to come home. "Yes, they found him," he answered finally. Michael parked the car in a garage on Mulberry Street, then took her up to his apartment. It was large, with expensive furniture and an enormous kitchen and living room. Michael made them both a drink, and then they went straight to the bedroom. She found him rougher in bed, and not as gentle as he had been before, like he was guarding himself against her. She hoped it would change.
"You could have written to me. You could have trusted me," she said afterward as she lay in his arms.
Michael laughed softly into the darkness. "I never thought you would wait for me after what happened," Kay said quickly.
"I never believed you killed those two men. Except maybe when your mother seemed to think so. But I never believed it in my heart. I know you too well."
She heard Michael sigh. "It doesn't matter whether I did it or not," he said. "You have to understand that." Kay was a little shocked by the coldness in his voice.
"So tell me," she said. "Did you or didn't you?"
Michael sat up in the bed and lit a cigarette. "Would I have to answer that question before you agreed to marry me?" Kay said,
"I don't care. I love you. If you loved me, you wouldn't be afraid to tell me the truth. You wouldn't be afraid that I might tell the police. So you're a gangster then, aren't you? But I don't really care. What I care about is that you obviously don't love me. You didn't even call me when you got back home."
When Michael spoke, his voice was strange. "You know, when I came home, I wasn't that glad to see my family. It was nice, but I didn't really care. Then I came back tonight and saw you in the kitchen, and I was glad. Is that what you mean by love?"
"That's close enough for me," Kay said.
They made love again for a while, and Michael was more gentle this time. He went out to get more drinks, and when he returned, he sat on a chair facing the bed and said, "Let's get serious. How do you feel about marrying me? I can't tell you anything about what happened. I'm working for my father now. I'm being trained to manage the family olive oil business. But you know my father has enemies. If you married me, you could be a very young widow. There's not much chance of that, but it could happen. I won't be telling you anything about my business or what happened at the office each day. You'll be my wife, but you won't be my partner in life. Not an equal partner. That can't be." Kay sat up in bed and turned on a lamp.
"Why do you want me to marry you after you never called for all those months?"
Michael looked at the floor. "You're the only person I really care about. I didn't call you because it never occurred to me that you'd still be interested in me after everything that has happened. I'll just promise you this one thing and I don't want you to repeat it to anyone. If everything goes right, the Corleone family will be completely legitimate in about 5 years. I want to have children, and I want them to be normal American kids doing normal jobs. Good, legitimate jobs. Maybe one of them will go into politics.
Would we have to live in the mall? Kay asked.
Michael nodded. We'll have our own house. It won't be so bad.
Because it's dangerous for you to live outside it? Kay said.
Again, she heard a coldness in Michael's voice. She had never known Michael angry before, and she knew that it was this coldness that would make her decide not to marry him. If she decided that. You have to understand that my father is a businessman trying to provide for his wife and family. He just doesn't accept the rules of society because those rules mean he has to live a life that is not right for him. A man of great strength and character. He sees himself as the same as presidents and court judges. But he refuses to live by rules created by others, which will lead him to a life of defeat. I have to help my father. I have to be on his side. And you have to make your decision about being on my side. I believe in the family we may have, but I don't believe that society will protect us. Kay pointed to the bed.
I don't know about marrying, but I've gone without a man for 2 years. Now come on in here.
Later, when they were lying in bed together with the light out, she whispered to him,
Do you believe me about not having a man since you left?
I believe you, said Michael.
Did you?
She whispered. Yes, Michael said. He felt her body stiffen a little. But not in the last 6 months. It was true. Kay was the first woman he had made love to since the death of Apollonia.